Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome to Friday as we get ready to check out this week and check into the weekend. I know that a lot of people are just starting to tune into this, so I'm going to give you some information that will hopefully help you understand today why I'm in here, why I'm doing this, and hopefully you can join the process. This is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, I'm going to be bringing in new sponsors that are actually independent sponsors as far as those, because what I'm going to be doing is starting to highlight the different organizations that are actually endorsing the process of Republic Review. So we'll start adding that, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't get so long to where I have to, well, actually, I hope it does get so long, so I'll just send you to the website so you can see all the different organizations and just kind of let you know who the new endorsers are. Like the Constitution Association is the last endorsement that we received in supporting Republic Review and getting the states to call for an audit of the Constitution. And that, my friends, is the only solution that will save our constitutional republic. So that's why you are listening to the only show that is focused and actually purporting and asserting that we have actually a tangible solution that would be the process that will save our Constitution. This isn't just GR's words. As a matter of fact, if you tuned in yesterday, I actually read Jefferson's words on that, but we'll get into that a little bit later. It's like film at 11, right? Actually, 6 maybe. The number to call in if you want to have a conversation, if you have an open question, because it is Friday, it is kind of the open question Friday, go ahead and call. It's 215-867-8255. I have to forewarn you that I have hardened the queue. I have two candidates for Wyoming. So if you want to call early, because the last half of the show is going to be dedicated to two of the governor candidates that are running for governor in the state of Wyoming. And so, as I've already said, this show is focused and it has a very myopic mission, and that is to save the Constitution. That being said, that's why this show is very focused on supporting the local state legislators as well as those local grassroots leaders, the chairs of the counties and legislative districts and so forth. They're the employers. They're the ones that provide the endorsement and allow these candidates to wear their label. You need to start changing your paradigm instead of thinking about the candidate themselves and the politician. We need to start holding and looking to the grassroots. And that's why I tell you, you have to get involved. You have to become a PCO. You have to get out there and you have to start demanding that your local central committee actually takes the Constitution as the center for their platform and starts getting rid of the establishment inclusions and all these other things. Go look at your local platform. I don't think you're going to be very happy. And that's one of the reasons why we've meandered and allowed ourselves to slide the way we have. We are a self-government government. And if we're not acting as self-governing citizens, then we are being played and we are being taken advantage of. So that's why the show is dedicated to supporting those local legislators. They have the authority over the Constitution for oversight. Anybody that tells you different, have them prove it by citing founding documents. Show me in a founding document, prove that. Give me the assertion of, you know, Madison or Jefferson in the ratification debates, right there in the Constitution. Show me how that has changed, because it hasn't changed, my friends. And that's why nobody can refute my argument. Anyway, that is why I'm supporting these folks, these grassroots people and these state legislators, just because they are the ones that can save us, and we're supporting those who actually are protecting all of us from federal tyranny, because when one stands up against the monster, they're taking on the monster for all of us. I also want to point out that you can get these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I know that my IT guy really, you know, is taking a long summer break, and so he's only getting these podcasts up maybe on the weekends and a few times during the week. So I apologize that they're not getting up on a regular basis, but they are getting up there at least by the weekend. So you will be able to catch up on all of the week's podcasts up on reclaimingtherepublic.org. You just go to the Red State Radio, our Red State Talk Radio podcast, and that's where you will find them. Anyway, I've also mentioned crowdfunding, and I contacted my bank yesterday and go, how long does it take to open up a savings account for my business? So what we're doing is we're opening up a separate savings account so I can actually account for every dollar that comes in, and then as it goes out, we can account for every dollar that is going out as well. Even though this is crowdfunding, and even though I am a nonprofit organization, we need to be profit organizations. I'm not a nonprofit. And so I hope I made that clear. I am not, and this is not a nonprofit effort. When we have nonprofit status, then it ties our hands on certain things we can do. Now we have the ability to actually contribute to campaigns. We have the ability to go out and solicit and speak to candidates and actually have them sign pledges. We are acting just like a personal entity, and we are taking it to the candidates. We are getting them to recognize their opportunity. It's not about having to force these people. Most of these people in these dark red states, they are more than willing to lead and become, you know, to our future generations, they're more than willing to become a Rufus King, a James Madison, and so forth, the Roger Sherman, you name the framer, and whoever your favorite framer is. These people are willing to do that, most of them. We just have to get them to start leading, because when you have a few people leading, it just makes it easier for people to want to join. It is the infection of courage. When courage hits one person stands up, next thing you know, other people start standing up. And that applies to the states as well. So when I get one state to stand up, there is no doubt in my mind that other states will stand up as well. So I'm going to have this information for you, but I'm kind of holding off because I don't want a bunch of money going in there, because crowdfunding, especially GoFundMe, they have this kind of funny rule that they can't hold money for over 30 days. So they have to deposit that. So if you started throwing thousands of dollars at me, I might have a problem, because I'm still fighting my bank to get this account open. I don't understand. Anyway, I'm supposed to call them as soon as this show is over so I can get a hold of somebody and they can explain to me what it's going to take, because I've given them all the paperwork, right? I've almost given them my DNA. Anyway, that being said, it is also time to do my obligatory groveling. If you have time, if you've got a computer, if you've got a phone, you can help this cause. Regardless of where you live, even if you live in the bluest of blue states, you can help. I mean, I live in a blue state, and I'm telling you right now, I'm actually able to reach across state boundaries, have phone calls, and actually engage with people, getting them to think, challenging their paradigm. You know, as a guy that they've never heard, I'm just a gnat flying around their head, and they go, who are you? What's this GR? And I actually get them to take a moment of time to listen and actually, you know, get them to pique their interest to go, you know what, let me take a look at this. And as I do, they, you know, I have a very high propensity of people that are real patriots, people that really recognize a limited government requirement for our federal government. Those are the folks that get it and they jump on board like that. That was my finger snapping. Anyway, I will tell you that the establishment, they will dance around this. And I live in a state where Republicans dance around this. I've actually confronted my representatives. I've confronted other representatives, and they dance around this because they're a part of the establishment. They don't think that they could survive politically. Not until that political courage starts, you know, rolling around and actually taking off like a brush fire going across the landscape of this republic, will we start finding people with, you know, this courage that is required to actually stand up and lead in taking back our republic and more specifically saving our Constitution. So before we go into those last two segments, I want to kind of cover a little bit of what I'm doing with these interviews. I've asked every single candidate the exact same question. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to how they answer the question. Now, some of these questions are answered very, you know, actually some of the questions I'm asking, I'm just looking for a real quick, short answer. And so it kind of, it kind of lends to itself when you hear a politician that, you know, just goes into this long diatribe, you can kind of wonder, okay, well, if you look at the person's career, what they do and what have you, you'll probably lend to, you know, what type of politician that person is. Anyway, I want you to start comparing and contrasting. These are the conservatives, because actually one of these candidates is the Constitution Party candidate. And it's brilliant, the position that this person has taken, because they are guaranteed a shot at the general election because they don't have a primary. They don't have anybody that is challenging them. And so get smart. I'm going to ask that we support some of these people, especially the legislators. I want you to understand that I do have legislators on deck. I'm not going to tell you anybody's name until I actually have hard, fast pledges from them that they're committed to engaging in republic review if they are elected. And so that is the key part. They have to be committed. They have to sign this pledge. And then as far as I'm concerned, I have a documentation in writing and with their signature that they're going to do this. And I think we need to get behind them and show them that we need them to lead. And so we will be right back, because I'm at a hard break and we got to listen to our sponsors. So we'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so before I get into what I was going to say regarding these candidates and so forth, because I want to give you a little background on that, I was forwarded a link to show me, where I stand amongst all of the different talk show hosts at this current time. And the funny thing is, I look at a lot of these folks that are out there that you're probably listening to, and you're choosing what to listen to. And I believe some of these people are brilliant. I think some of these people have great marketing concepts, and they're able to entertain. And I tell people, I am not a professional entertainer. I'm here to solve a problem. I am here to help educate the electorate. That means you. And I'm here to specifically focus my energy on the 5,445 people that have the authority over the Constitution to step in our behalf and interpose upon that Constitution the actual requirements and the actual enforcement to ensure that we no longer live under federal tyranny. And I can tell you that there's nobody else on these links that I look at that have that solution. They have good ideas, they have good tactics, they may be very brilliant, and like I said, they're great marketers. They have their own marketing schemes where you can buy and subscribe and do all of these things. I'm not here to do that. If I ask you for money, it is very, very myopic, and it is to get the right people into the positions to save our Constitution. Not like I have a commercial that says, I am not looking to have, and you're not paying me for highfalutin lifestyle or extravagant living. That is not the case here. The case is all about our posterity. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, if you want them to live under the shroud of liberty, if you want them to actually be sovereigns, then we have to save this precious parchment that actually guarantees that liberty and sovereignty for us. And so let me get into these candidates. I just want you to know that the candidate information will be up this weekend on the podcast. So the two candidates that I play will be available so that if you want to go and contribute to them, you want to go learn more about them, it will be on my Red State Radio podcast page, and it will also be on my link, important link information page. I think it's just the links page. But anyway, you'll be able to go to both of those pages. And so that next Monday, when I play more interviews, hopefully you'll be able to garner which one seems like a better leader and which one is, or which ones are, still cutting their teeth, still trying to figure out. You got to remember, it is a different, it's a different monster trying to be a politician. I mean, you have to be very headstrong. You have to be very, I want to say stubborn. You have to be fixated on the idea that you have the solution. I guess maybe I should be a politician because I know I have the solution. The problem is that I know that as soon as I enter the political fray, my hands become tied to the constituents that I would have to serve. And that would tie me or keep bind me away from being able to float from one state to the next and be able to engage in good work for you and for our posterity. So anyway, let me move on. I do the obligatory look, and I can tell you that the federal government has no intent in reeling back any of their tyranny. So that leaves it to us. We're going to have to do this. I don't know if you're convinced yet. But you can even pray on this. I think the Lord required, just like in the revolution, He required us to pull the trigger. He required us to attack. He requires us to be an active participant. And so we cannot necessarily be complacent and think, oh, well, the Lord will take care of it. No, He wants us. It's just like the talents. He wants us to actually go and invest our time and be fighters in a worthy cause, and there's nothing greater or more worthy than liberty, individual liberty, and individual sovereignty. And so, as I have the standing question, why is reading our founding documents so important? Like I said, it's an open phone. If you want to call, by all means, call. Let me get into what I read yesterday on that Kentucky resolution. For those who understand Republic Review, go to my homepage on reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can read the bullets. You can also find that video on the Take Action page. Just scroll down a little bit, my Republic Review video. You can watch that. I will tell you, if you understand Republic Review, go read the Kentucky Resolution of 1798 with Jefferson and the Kentucky legislators, and you will actually see the formation, or what Jefferson and the Kentucky legislators were doing, where they were creating the movement towards an audit and a conference, convention, or a republic review, not a convention to amend the Constitution. Be clear, you will not find that there. They were actually seeking to enforce the Constitution and make sure that the federal government complied to their contract. So go read that. Read Resolution 8. It's a long resolution, but he talks about setting up these correspondences between the states, that they're going to start working together and uniting in arresting, I'll use the term, evil. And so it's an affirmation that what Jefferson tried to do is exactly what we're doing. If you read Madison, we're going to get into that next week. We're going to read the Madison Resolution with Virginia of 1798 as well. And so we'll actually have even Madison's view of calling for the audit and so forth. Let me get into some news, though. Isn't it ironic that today, the last business day before Trump's meeting in Helsinki, that they actually come out with these indictments, and then all of a sudden this hyperbole of, oh, we got to stop this this meeting in Helsinki. I actually heard comments made today that these 12 indictments on these Russian GRU or KGB or these intel activists or actors were using and exploiting our weaknesses, such as race and so forth. Oh, the old tactic of divide and conquer. We were being manipulated. Let me ask you something. If you really believe that we've been manipulated by Russia, which I do, I believe that they are actors in this. Do you believe that it's obvious to those players in the United States, such as the deep state, that might know about our weaknesses and these same things that divide us? Do you think that the CIA is oblivious to this? Or do you think that they may be players? Because actually, there's been evidence, and it's pretty strong evidence, that they've actually been players of dividing and conquering, right? I had a great conversation with a gentleman today. If you look at how these leaders of demographics, regardless of the race and so forth, whether they be clergy or what have you, reverends, are self-appointed leaders. These leaders are only shills for this agenda. And the intent is to make sure that those people that are following them become more and more dependent upon the state. It is about subjugation. It is not about your individual liberty or sovereignty. And so these people are actually the Pied Piper, and the question is, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so who is it that's calling the tune? I want to jump onto this Canada thing. Does anybody know who the sovereign is in the nation of Canada? Do you know it's a Commonwealth of the UK? Do you know that they pay tribute to the Queen? Well, with that in mind, and if you know that Canada has been the lowest contributor in NATO for the army, and they committed to paying 2%, and they're not even coming close, maybe the Queen and Britain ought to reel Trudeau in, don't you think? Maybe they ought to say, hey, you know what? You are a Commonwealth of us, and if you're not going to do this, then maybe we should levy a higher tax on you so that, you know, we'll get our pound of flesh out of you. I also wanted to point out that this is an election year. I also like to point out that this is a very important election year. But even more importantly, if you look at a macro view, every election year, it seems like billions of dollars are being spent. And I don't know if we've hit $1 trillion yet for an election, but we're on our way to that. And what that means is every election cycle, somebody is paying billions of dollars for signs and all of that. And that costs money. And it costs money to get good candidates in. And who's paying for these bad candidates? Who are these bad players? I can tell you that the union is going to be having a hard time paying because they're not going to be able to use dues to do that anymore. Well, we'll see how that pans out from that Supreme Court ruling just not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. I will tell you that there is inflation that's figured into this, but I'm going to also tell you that America has been up for sale, and it's been up for sale for a long time. And the world is getting the best government that money can buy, or I should say these globalists and those who have machinations in subjugating the world, they're getting the best government that they can buy. Look at the mayhem that we can go anywhere in the world and cause and create. Anyway, I will have a list of candidates that will have signed pledges. I've got a few that are telling me that they will sign their pledges. Those names will be out. I'll have an endorsement page for you, and it'll be separate for them. And so you'll be able to go to their pages, go to their donation sites, and so forth. And remember, I've been asking you to save some of your lunch money. Please, now is the time when we start getting these candidates in Tennessee, Wyoming, and hopefully we can hit Kansas. I've just been so busy. And have I not been asking for help? I could use help. If you're in Kansas, reach out and let me know. I can give you a list and we can start moving forward. Anyway, so hopefully Monday you'll actually have that. We'll be able to get into that list. And so when we come back, we will actually have Harriet Hageman, and she is the first candidate that we're going to interview that is running for the governor seat in Wyoming. So we'll be right back with that interview, and then we'll have Bill Dahlin, who is the next candidate, in the final segment, and then I'll be right back for some quick wit. And so please stay tuned. We'll be right back. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and we actually have Harriet Hageman, and I'm pronouncing the last name correct, Hageman?
Hageman.
Okay, and I apologize. Everybody knows I'm bad with names. I don't intend to be, but it's unfortunately how it works out, so forgive me. The first question I have is, what and how can the listeners engage with your campaign?
Well, there's a couple of ways. We have a website, which is HagemanForGovernor.com. We also have a Facebook page, which is just Harriet Hageman. And so those are the two places in which you are able to access information about my campaign, as well as learn more about me, learn more about my positions, and watch some of the forums that we've had to date. I have also put up all of my policy positions. I'm the only candidate so far who has issued a very extensive list of policy positions related to the campaign and my vision for Wyoming. So that is some of the information that is available out there on those two sites.
Yes, and I have noticed your extensive issues and the way you've articulated those. So I guess the first question I have is, or the second technically, is what or how would you describe the U.S. Constitution in the least amount of words? If you could do it in one word, two, how would you describe the Constitution?
That I've ever been asked that question. I think that the Constitution represents a paradigm shift in the idea of governance throughout the world. Prior to the drafting of our Constitution, it was always believed that our rights come from government. And what our forefathers recognized is that our rights come from God. They do not come from government. The significance of that is that if the rights do not come from government, then government has no right to take them away. Government does not have the ability to take them away. So our First Amendment rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our Second Amendment rights, our right to keep and bear arms, our Fourth Amendment rights, our rights to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, all of those are rights that come from God. And so I think that, that in looking at our Constitution, it was just such a dramatic shift in philosophy. And it's something that has worked for 200-plus years. And it's a pretty amazing document in that regard.
Okay, so I'm going to say that that answers my second question, because my second question is, what is the U.S. Constitution to you? Do you have a different view of the Constitution than how you just described it?
Those are questions that don't really lend themselves to soundbite responses.
I get it.
The Constitution was an incredibly, as I said, an incredibly a unique approach to governance. And so that's part of it. But the other part of it is it is a recognition of our rights and liberties as free people.
Sure, sure.
And so you have the Constitution itself, and then you have the Bill of Rights, a recognition that we are free people and that the government works for us. That
right.
As governor, I would be a public servant. As president, President Trump is a public servant. As legislators or congressional representatives, they are public servants.
Right.
And again, that is something that was so unique at the time, a recognition that government works for the people rather than the other way around.
Right. And so you've kind of also given a great segue into how would you describe the limitations and or the jurisdiction of the federal government?
Well, it's set forth in the 10th Amendment. And it's also just set forth in the foundation of what our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution sets forth. The federal government was always supposed to be a government of limited jurisdiction. The power resides with the states.
Right.
So unless it is specifically granted to the federal government, it is reserved to the states. So many of the issues that the federal government has taken over the years, such as with our Department of Education and our Department of Transportation and our Department of Commerce, those are not rights that should be with the federal government. Those
right.
are rights that reside with the state, within the states.
Right.
And so the federal government is a government of limited jurisdiction. The power resides with the states. It just seems as though we have forgotten that, especially over the last 40 years.
And so another segue into the next question. What, because we call those education, those types of things, encroachments. And so what would be probably the most severe encroachment of the federal government into the state of Wyoming, in your opinion?
I think one of them is through education.
Okay.
I think the Federal Department of Education, created in 1979, has been something that has been very destructive to our education system. I think that you see that on many different levels, from K through 12 all the way up through our universities. And so one of the areas where there has been substantial overreach is in our education system. From my standpoint, I'm a water and natural resource attorney. So another area is through the EPA, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Forest Service, the BLM, those types of agencies, just
right.
in terms of resource management.
Right.
I believe that the EPA, for example, has far, far, far exceeded its authority under the Clean Water Act
right.
in its effort to take jurisdiction over waters that are not navigable waters of the United States.
Right.
Everything from irrigation canals to irrigation ditches to wetlands to all different kinds of things. I don't believe that the EPA ever had the authority to do that. So I think that from the water and natural resource area, that's an incredibly broad area where the federal government has far exceeded its authority.
So what would you do as the governor in dealing with those types of encroachments?
There's several things. One is that I think that we have a window of opportunity to work with the current administration to have some real regulatory reform. President Trump has issued 4 executive orders that are incredibly, that are very, very important in terms of addressing this issue. And he has succeeded in being able to push back against some of these agencies in issuing new regulations. I want to work with the Trump administration as well as our congressional representatives in other states to rebalance the relationship between the federal government and the states. I think it's very important that the states reassert their power and authority. And so what I would like to do is make sure that we have that those executive orders actually become law. As executive orders, the next administration obviously can change those. I believe that one of the most important things that I will be doing as governor is federal and state regulatory reform. We need to dramatically alter the mechanism by which agencies are making law in this country. And I think that that reform is only coming from the states. It's not going to come from Congress. It's not going to come from the agencies themselves. But because of things that have happened, I believe that we are at a turning point, if you will, in our country where with this president, we can substantially alter the authority of the agencies to be making law. One of the things that I've done over the last it's well over a year now, probably a year and a half or so, I've been working with the Madison Coalition in pushing for a constitutional amendment, the Regulatory Freedom Amendment. And what that amendment would do is it states that anytime 25% of the House or 25% of the Senate object to a regulation, it cannot go into effect until it has been approved by Congress. If we were successful at doing that, number one, we would dramatically alter the relationship between the federal government and the states, but we would also return to our constitutional foundation of having our legislative branch legislate rather than the executive branch legislating through regulations.
So one other follow-up then is, what is the most important issue then to the Wyoming voter in this election as far as what you sense from the polls?
I think that there are two intertwined issues. One of them is that regulatory reform.
Right.
As I travel the state of Wyoming,
right,
that is probably the issue that comes up in every single conversation that I have, that the regulatory burden in this country has really reached a tipping point. I travel the country and I give a speech called Regulation Without Representation. The impact of federal regulations on our country is $2.1 trillion. It is $14,000 for every family in this country. It is a hidden tax that most people don't even recognize is out there. But it is represented in increased costs associated with constructing highways and constructing buildings and getting permits for drilling oil wells, that sort of thing. In Wyoming, we have a 1.5 phrase index, FRASE, and what that means is that in Wyoming, the federal regulatory burdens are 50% higher than they are for the country as a whole. There are only 2 states that have a worse phrase index than Wyoming, and that is Louisiana and Alaska. And the fact that those are the other 2 states probably tells you something about where that regulatory burden has had such an impact on our states.
Right.
And that's in our minerals industry, our
right,
oil and gas permitting,
right,
our coal resources and use, extraction, those sorts of things. For example, in Wyoming, it costs $268,000 more to drill an oil well on federal land than it does private land, and that is because of federal regulations. I have landowners who are being prevented from being able to exercise their private property rights because the BLM is using the National Historic Preservation Act to try to dictate view sheds, and view sheds are never, ever, ever addressed in the National Historic Preservation Act, but it's a mechanism by which they're expanding their authority over private lands.
If I could.
I'm meeting with the oil and gas industry or the Trona industry or farmers or small business owners or county commissioners or city council members, whatever group I am meeting with, I was meeting with some outdoor groups in Lander yesterday, and they were talking about how regulations impact their ability to access federal lands. Whatever group I'm talking to, one of the biggest issues that they talk about is this federal regulatory burden. In Wyoming, we also have some issues with our state regulations.
Harriet,
we need to have a revamp of what's going on in the state as well.
Excuse me.
So we need to look at both.
Excuse
me. That's probably one of the primary issues that is discussed out there. The other issue that is discussed is Wyoming's budget deficit.
And
we have a $1.15 billion structural deficit, and we need to address that.
Well, so, Harry, we're at a hard break right now, so I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for your answers. And we'll be right back, listeners, after we hear a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so we're back, and we actually have Bill Nallen on the phone, and he is running for the governor's seat in Wyoming. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you for having me, GR.
Where can the listeners go to find out more about Bill and donate and do those types of really important things for you?
Dahlin for Governor, that's spelled D-A-H-L-I-N for governor.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, a few other social media outlets.
Okay.
But that's the main site is dahlinforgovernor.com.
Okay, great, great. And so I will make sure that those links are on my podcast page as well as my link information page, so people will have a couple of shots at trying to find it. They know where to get it. So let me get right to the chase here, and I'm asking all the candidates the same thing. If you could describe the U.S. Constitution in the least amount of words, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 words, or maybe even one, how would you describe the U.S. Constitution?
Well, I would encourage everybody to read the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, because that sets the pace for the intent of the Constitution.
Right. But how would you describe it? Is there a way you could kind of condense what the Constitution is in a couple of words?
Less government.
Less government. Okay. Or limited government. Let me ask you this. What is the U.S. Constitution to you?
You know, it is the meat and potatoes of this country. It is something that everybody, I think it should be very, very important in teaching in our schools, because it is what our freedom is all about. It's what this country is about. So it's extremely important for people to understand the Constitution, and for that matter, live by it.
Right. And as you started your description of the Constitution as a little government or limited government, I think I threw in there, can you describe the limitations or jurisdiction of the federal government?
The jurisdiction of the government is for the protection, the safety of the people of the United States, and for the welfare of the people of the United States. That's its primary objective, and I would say that beyond that, we're kind of stretching things, and we have really, in this country, with a $21 trillion debt, have really overextended ourselves as far as what the U.S. government initially was founded on. So, you know, we have so many programs and so much dependence on the government. It's become a burden, actually, and it needs to be cut back. And what I'm particularly, I really am encouraged by is President Trump knocking back regulations and knocking back taxes and really getting more focused on what we initially started this country out as, and our freedoms and our rights go along with what we have in our states compared to the overreach of federal government. I think that is something that we all need to focus on, and heading for the cliff with the debt we have is not a good thing. This is a great country. We need to focus on the basics. We get away from the basics, and things tend to be out of control, which they have been.
Well, so would you say that the federal government has encroached or exceeded the limitations of the Constitution?
In many cases, yes.
Okay.
As far as my position goes, if we focus on the, you want to take a look at the Second Amendment, First Amendment, as an example in the Constitution. Both those are bandied about continually, and really, what it all boils down to is when you're talking about free speech. We have to be very aware of that. Without the Second Amendment, we lose everything else. So we have to maintain focus on what the intent of the Constitution is and live by it, or we have to come up with changes, and that hasn't been done.
Well, what would you say would be the greatest encroachment in Wyoming's roles, responsibilities, and powers as a state by the federal government?
Well, there is some argument about federal lands issues in Wyoming and how that is an overreach. But that's been argued under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 many times before. So, in Wyoming and the western states, the federal lands have quite a, big presence.
Yep.
And really, under that Section 4 and under the Constitution, the federal government does have the right on foreign lands. And we actually, the western lands particularly, were taken away from Native Americans. And so it was foreign land initially when the United States took it over. So that's how the premise of the protection of having federal lands is argued. There's others that argue under the District of Columbia being the only section of land that the federal government is entitled to. But there's many arguments based on that. So I'm not in favor of a federal lands transfer in Wyoming. And that's not the biggest issue. I think what the biggest issue in Wyoming is really the economy. And the economy of Wyoming is very dependent on the energy sector. And I'm the only candidate that understands the energy sector to the extent that I'm the only one that sells coal. I buy and sell coal. I'm the only candidate that purchased a coal mine that was defunct when I bought it and turned it into a multi-level diversified business. And the direction we have to take in Wyoming is our economy. We rate very low because of our dependence on energy, which we need to protect. But there's other things we can do as far as diversification. And speaking of freedom, we need industrial hemp is something that is really that we can do in Wyoming and in this country that will help the economy. And that's one thing that I'm fully behind is industrial hemp. And that was classified by the federal government as a class one drug. They declassified it in World War II, and they had a song that said hemp for victory. My dad wore hemp combat boots, not marijuana boots, in World War II.
Right.
So I think it's going through the Senate, and I think that is going to be deregulated or declassified, and that's going to help Wyoming.
Okay.
We'll push for that as a catalyst for diversification in Wyoming. And then in Wyoming, we need to start thinking differently as far as what we can do. And once we start doing that, we will actually diversify our economy, because Wyoming has never been diversified. We've been dependent on the energy sector since the beginning of our statehood.
Okay,
basically.
So, Mr. Dallin, we have about 2 minutes left. And so what would you believe is the most important issue to the Wyoming voter in this election? Do you believe it's the economy?
Absolutely, hands down. That is the common denominator for everybody.
I mean,
it touches every single person.
All right.
Without question. I mean, funding for anybody's special interest, funding for health and welfare, funding for our highway patrolmen.
We
have to protect funding for everything that we have. Comes down to the economy.
Right.
So, it's got to be the number one thing.
If I can get another question or two in, again, we just got a little over a minute. What type of government does Wyoming have? What form of government?
You know, it's a very non-transparent government.
Okay.
It's extremely non-transparent. I think it rates last as far as transparency goes within our government.
But is it Democratic or Republican in form?
Well, it's 80% registered Republicans in the state of Wyoming.
Okay. All right. And do you know what it would take in the state of Wyoming for a change to the Wyoming Constitution? We got 1 minute.
Well, it takes the people. That is what it takes to change the Constitution.
Two-thirds? Is it a two-thirds vote?
Yeah, it's got to be voted by the people.
Okay.
And it's got to be a referendum by the people to have the Wyoming Constitution changed.
Oh, okay. Well, let me see here. If you could pick a VP for governor, who would that be?
That's a good question. There's six of us running on the Republican ticket, and I like all of them, and actually get to know them all. I'd have to pick probably from one of those, and I don't have my mind set. I haven't been thinking that way. We just have the Secretary of State as the Lieutenant Governor by proxy, so we don't really pick an assistant, so to speak, here.
Yeah, I completely understand, and no state does, but it was just an opportunity. And so we're out of time, and what I'd like to do is thank you, and hopefully we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks to find out where you were at with the rest of the candidates in the campaign. So, folks, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, GR.
You're
August
welcome.
21st. It's the primary.
And so let me get into the 3 points I want to bring up. Keep in mind, most of these people, they do not understand the Constitution as I have been postulating. They understand the Constitution as they have been taught per the progressive education. I don't have a lot of time, but I will tell you the two more things. That my objective in these initial interviews is to get these candidates' perspectives to kind of show you what the standard politician and how people really view the Constitution. Now I'm going to be providing them my content and letting them take a look at the Constitution from a different view. And so once, and I've given each of these candidates that I've interviewed my content. And so now I'm planning on doing a follow-up interview and finding out what their perspective is and then how they plan on attacking some of these problems if they have changed their approach or if they've, by looking at the Constitution differently, does that mean that they can now move in a different direction as they go after these federal encroachments? And so I am out of time. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. Of course, as always, I need your help. This is a Republican form of government. Have a great weekend. God bless, and we'll see you Monday.